भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो
भगवते वासुदेवाय
Reading this evening from Canto 2, Chapter 7, Text 27. There's a series of verses all in a row in this chapter that are describing Krishna's pastimes. In the weekend, verses that were covered were the introductory verses of the first canto, beginning with Janvad Yasya Yataha. And we were hearing the primary meaning of that, Janvad Yasya Yataha, is in connection with the very same phrase that's found in Vedanta Sutra, in the second aphorism of Vedanta Sutra, or second sutra, with the same sutra, Janvad Yasya Yataha, where the definition of that is, or the translation of that is, the absolute truth is that from which everything else comes, Janvad Yasya Yataha. However, we also heard that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur was taking this Janma Adi to indicate the appearance of the Lord, and that which follows the appearance of the Lord is transcendental activities. So these verses in the seventh chapter describe the Lord's appearance, as we read this morning, the transcendental nature of the Lord's appearance, and also now is the transcendental nature of the Lord's activities. And in both purports, Prabhupada is making strong emphasis, I underline the word strong emphasis, on the transcendental nature of the Lord's form. It's the characteristic of form that is spiritual, in contrast with the characteristics of form that are material. So from birth, the way in which Krishna appeared within the womb of Devaki, the way in which Krishna appeared in the prison house of Kamsa, the way in which Krishna transformed himself from a four-armed Vishnu form to a small child form, etc. All of the features surrounding the Lord's Janma indicate one who has a spiritual form. And the Leela following this Janma, here in Bhagavad Gita, Janma Karma Chine Divyam Evam Yogi Tatvata, the Leela of the Lord exhibits his spiritual form. Here's the translation of text 27. There is no doubt about Lord Krishna's being the Supreme Lord. Otherwise, how was it possible for him to kill the giant, a giant demon like Putana, when he was just on the lap of his mother? Or to overturn a cart with his leg when he was only 3 months old? Or to uproot a pair of Arjuna trees so high that they touched the sky when he was only crawling? All these activities are impossible for anyone other than the Lord himself. The concluding remark of this paragraph is, the Lord in any condition is the Lord of the universe, and he can act as such in any form, gigantic or small. as he likes. The features of a spiritual form are not limited to or determined by the fact that Krishna can assume a large form, assume a small form, like he has an elastic body or something. Mahima and Anima cities, these are two of the eight mystic cities in which sizes of forms can become large and sizes of forms can become very small. Mentioned in the purport was that Putana, she was able to assume a very beautiful human-like form. But when Krishna was killing Putana, the body that she assumed was huge. At least the trees that were knocked down were within a radius of 12 miles. That's a pretty big body. Think of something that's 12 miles from here. How far is downtown?
17 miles.
17 miles. Almost to downtown. How long is the lake?
22 miles.
22 miles long. Anyway, but when Putana picked up Krishna, he was just several days old. Think of a small child that you've seen, just several days old, 4 or 5 days old. Very small, so tiny. In that stage, Krishna was God. He wasn't less God because his size was small. He kind of grew up and became God. He was God. Immediately killed Putana. Now Prabhupada explains this. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. This verse is especially describing the appearance of Lord Krishna and his amigos. That's the previous verse. One cannot manufacture a god by one's mental speculation or by numerical votes, as has been a practice for the less intelligent class of men. God is certainly God eternally. And an ordinary living entity is eternally a part and parcel of God. Indicating, you know, the emphasis is on the eternality feature, but it's not that a living entity becomes God. A living entity is eternally a living entity, and God is eternally God. So when God appears, he's God. He hasn't become God. There's this other idea that says when you become a liberated soul, you become somehow bigger. An atma becomes a mahatma. The size of the soul expands. Not so. The size of the soul is always amsa, very tiny. And the liberated soul is a liberated, tiny soul. Nor does the soul become God. Our biographies of the life of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there were times when individuals would call him God, and because he exhibited superlative powers, and when they called him God, he would put his hands over his ears, run full speed into the Ganges with his clothes on, calling Vishnu, 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 and jump in the water to purify himself without even taking the trouble to prepare himself. He just, with his clothes, just jumped into the river. The explanation being that it is a great offense to call a jiva, any jiva, Vishnu, meaning that this is called the child Vishnu, but to identify this living entity is in the category of God. It's an offense to God. Besides, it's not true. All living entities are maintained by God Himself, and that is the verdict of the Vedic literatures. He's making reference, in without the Sanskrit, he's making reference to all living entities are maintained by one living entity. Who knows what that verse is? Nityo, Nityanam, Chaitanas, Chaitananam, Eko, Bahunam, Yom, Vididati, Kaman. Amongst all eternals, there's one that's the supreme eternal. Singular, Nityo, plural, Nityanam. And amongst all conscious beings, there's one supremely conscious being, Chaitanas, Chaitananam. Same as described in Bhagavad Gita, in the 13th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna indicates that the Arjuna wants to know in the 13th chapter what is the field of activities and the knower of the field of activities, what is knowledge and the object of knowledge. So the field of activities, Krishna says, is this body. And one who knows the body is called the knower of the field of activities. Kshetrajna and Kshetra. But then Krishna says, Kshetrajna chapi mam vidhi sarva kshetreshu bharata. In addition to the singular knower of this body, there's one knower that's the knower of all bodies. So there's two knowers. Chaitanas, Chaitananam. Eko, Bahunam. There's one amongst many. Yo Vididati Kama. Who is maintaining all others. So, the living entities are maintained. Krishna is the maintainer, and it's not the other way around. We're worshipping the deity, and the deity is maintaining us. It's not that we're maintaining the deity. We're maintaining Krishna. That's ridiculous. So, with that philosophical background, and Prabhupada starts diving into the pastimes. So the first of the pastimes after his appearance was the killing of Putana. When Krishna was on the lap of his mother, the demon Putana appeared before his mother and prayed to nurture the child in her lap. Mother Jasoda agreed, and the child was transferred onto the lap of Putana, who was in the garb of a respectable lady. Putana wanted to kill the child by smearing poison on the nipple of her breast. But when everything was complete, the Lord sucked her breast along with her very air of life, and the demon's gigantic body, said to be as long as 6 miles, 10th canto, the trees fell 12 miles of radius. She fell down. But Lord Krishna did not need to extend himself for the length of the she-demon Putana, although he was quite confident to extend himself more than 6 miles long. And to prove that, he refers to Valana. Here is Krishna's divinity. Valana is also an appearance of the personality of Godhead. But when Vamana made his appearance, he, to cover the entire cosmic manifestation, he expanded his body to a huge form so that his legs were very long. Do you know what a dwarf is? You know what a dwarf is? Dwarf means very small. Snow White and Seven Dwarfs. You know that story? That's it. You know what a dwarf is. A dwarf is like a midget. You know what a midget is? So, midgets have very short legs. So when Vamana appeared before Bali Maharaj, he appeared as a Brahmana, but a dwarf Brahmana. A dwarf, a little, not only young in age, but very short, tiny in stature. But so beautiful, so charming, that everyone was stunned with his beauty because he's as beautiful as God. Maxim of beauty. So when Bali asked Vamana, please take some charity from me. I'm going to perform this yajna and it will be very auspicious if you accept some charity. Tell me what you would like. I have so many riches. I have so much power. I have so much kingdom. Auspicious? What does auspicious mean? Auspicious means favorable. Something, it's like when the pujari blows the conch at the beginning. Ooh, you heard that sound? That's an auspicious sound. It creates a favorable atmosphere for the commencing of something. So it would be very auspicious, it would be very fortunate. It would bring great fortune to the sacrifice. If you accept some charity from me, please accept some charity. So he was making offers. You can have this, you can have that, you can have so many things. And Vamana said, I'm a small boy, and I'm a Brahmana. I don't require so much. But if you like, you can give me 3 paces of land, 3 steps of land. And Bali looked at his legs and said, 3 steps of land? The legs are so small, that's nothing. I can give you much more than that. No, no. I'm a Brahmana. I don't require so much. 3 paces of land. Bali said, so be it. Take 3 paces of land. And Vamana's body began to expand. Huge, huge form. So that in 2 steps, in 1 step he covered up to the heavenly planets. And his 2nd step covered all the way to the covering of the universe, and his toe went through the covering of the universe. So that celestial waters entered into the universe from his toe, sticking through the covering of the universe. Prabhupada writes, his body extended over thousands and millions of miles. That's a big body. Here's this huge Vamana saying, you promised me 3 paces of land, but with 2 I've covered everything. You've cheated me. You promised me 3 paces of land. And Bali said, oh no, there's one other place. You can put your 3rd step on my head, please. So he received the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, or foot of the Supreme Lord upon his head. But to perform his pastime as Vamana, he assumed a huge form. And in his divinity as Krishna, he didn't have to assume a huge form. He maintained a very small, his old form, little Krishna. Prabhupada writes, although it wasn't difficult for Krishna to expand his form, he didn't require. And there's another reason that he didn't. And he didn't because if he had assumed a very large form, several miles long, that would have hurt Mother Jasoda's disposition of love. Because Mother Jasoda looked upon Krishna as a little child. What would it be like if her little child suddenly became several miles long? It wouldn't be her little child anymore. Impaired or interfered with the affection of Mother Jasoda as mother. If Jasoda had seen Krishna in her lap extending 6 miles to cope with the she-demon Putana, that the natural filial love of Mother Jasoda would have been hurt, because in that way Yashoda would have to come to know that her so-called son Krishna was God himself. And with the knowledge of the godhood of Krishna, Yashoda Mahi would have lost the temper of her love for Krishna as a natural mother. So Krishna accomplished two things at the same time. He destroyed Putana, and he preserved the affection of Mother Jasoda while so doing. Because as far as Mother Yashoda was concerned, when she saw, because Putana, as the description is given here, Putana entered into the maternity chamber of Mother Yashoda, and she was so beautiful and so fantastically ornamented and dressed. She appeared to be a very aristocratic lady. Great opulence and beauty. So much so that Mother Jasoda allowed Putana. She didn't interfere. She just went right to the place where Krishna was and began breastfeeding. Just days after Krishna had appeared, she began breastfeeding him. But as Krishna accepted the breast of Putana, and he sucked, because she was offering milk, he sucked her breast. He took the milk, he took the poison, and he sucked out her life air. And as he was sucking out her life air, she was feeling great pain. And she cried out very loudly, "Let go! Leave me!" Little three-day child. And Krishna continued to suck out her life air. So she started screaming. And she ran out of the maternity chamber. And as she was running, her mystic power of being able to assume this beautiful female form was taken away also. And so her body began expanding bigger and bigger and bigger, and she ran out of the house and crashed into the field. And she lay there dead. And as she lay there dead, Mother Jasoda and the elder gopis, they saw this huge demoness form, miles long, a little baby Krishna playing on her chest. They climbed up this giant form and rescued little baby Krishna, thinking, "Lord Narayan has saved him." Somehow, Nanda Maharaj must have done some nice devotional service somewhere so that Narayan was pleased and Krishna was protected from this terrible demon. Although it was Krishna that killed the terrible demon. They couldn't see like that. So Prabhupada writes, Krishna does not require to become God by undergoing severe penances. Although some men think of becoming God in that way, by undergoing severe austerities and penances, one cannot become one with or equal to God. But one can attain some of the godly qualities. A living being can attain godly qualities to a large extent, but he cannot become God. Whereas Krishna, without undergoing any type of penance, is always God, either on the lap of his mother or growing up at any stage. Then the next paragraph is describing the next lila, Shakatasura, demon, was killed. In honor of Krishna's growing, there was a nice festival at the palace of Nanda Maharaj. And they had invited all the residents of Gokul to come and join the big festival. And you know how it is, those of you that are parents. when you invite many, many, many guests to your home, you have to attend to your guests. So they were very busy, occupied with receiving everyone. So Mother Jasoda fed Krishna, knowing that after feeding Krishna, Krishna would become tired and would want to rest. So she fed Krishna, and when he was sleeping, she placed Krishna in the back of the house, because they were in the back of the house. In the back of the house was a cart. In our modern situation, people buy you little sheds, storage sheds, and put storage shed in the back of their yard. So they didn't have storage sheds that you buy at Walmart and so forth. They had a cart. And the cart was this bullock cart, because they were cowherds. So they had a bullock cart. And on top of the bullock cart were stored utensils, like, you know, big cooking pots, you know, big heavy things that instead of putting in a, you know, a lock and store place or in their little storage shed in the back, they put in the bullock cart. So Krishna was so small, he was just 3 months old. That's also very small, 3 months old. His little legs, he was lying on his back, and his little legs were sticking up in the air as he was looking at the cart. He knew the Shakatasura demon was taking shelter in that cart. It's described that those who are ghosts, the nature of ghosts is that there are subtle bodies without a gross body. So when one has a subtle body without a gross body, it's very painful because their desires can be fulfilled and no way to fulfill them. So they want to inhabit something, take shelter in something. So we find descriptions that they sometimes take shelter in trees or sometimes take shelter in other objects. Sometimes somebody who is intoxicated, they take shelter there and try to possess that body so that they can enjoy their, fulfill their desires through the medium of that body. That's what it's said when someone is possessed by a ghost. So in this case, Shakatasura was taking shelter in the cart. And Krishna knew that because he's God. He didn't have to figure it out. Someone didn't have to tell him. He didn't have to go to ghost school or something. He understood. He's omniscient. So although his legs were very small, little tiny legs of a small child, he began kicking, as children will do sometimes with their little legs. And his leg touched the axle of the cart. His leg was too short to reach the cart, our charges describe. But it was by his own mystic power, just by wiggling and kicking, flailing his legs, he hit the axle of the cart. And when he hit the axle of the cart was like an explosion. All these big, heavy pots and metal things just like flying in all directions. And the cart also went flying in the air and smashed and landed on Shakatasura and crushed him. And when there was this big clatter and clanging of all the pots in the cart, Mother Jasoda and Nandamaraj came running to protect their small child. Imagine those of you who have had small children, your parent, their child was in a little 3-month-old child was in some area of some big bang and some noise like that, running. And they saw the devastated cart and everything strewn all over the place, and there's little Krishna smiling. Again, they thought, he's been protected somehow from this calamity, this great misfortune. And they began asking the children that were there in the area, what happened? Did you see what happened? They said, yes, we saw what happened. Krishna was moving his legs and hit the cart. The cart went flying in all directions, and this being came out of the cart and was crushed by the big cart. And so the parents said, yeah, right. Okay, said, yeah. Because they couldn't accept it. That it happened like that, because Krishna is showing his divinity. Because their affection was, he's all this little small child, he's not God. But Krishna is showing his divinity. Saying the next Leela that's described in Damodar Leela. As a child is just old enough to crawl, after children are on their backs kicking their legs, at some point they learn to crawl. So Krishna was in that crawler of the crawler stage. So pitter-pattering across the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj with a big, heavy grinding mortar for grinding spices tied around his belly. And he fastened the grinding mortar between two Arjuna trees and kept toddling and knocked over the two Arjuna trees. And Nalakugara and Manigriva came out. Again, the parents asking the children what happened. And they heard the crashing of the trees, and they said exactly what happened. The parents couldn't believe it. Children talking silly talk. That's what they thought. But Krishna was showing his divinity. Prabhupada writes, that is the way of reciprocation of love affairs between the Lord and his devotees. Yashoda Mayi wanted to have the Lord as her child, and the Lord played exactly like a child in her lap. But at the same time, he played the part of the Almighty Lord whenever it was so required. The beauty of such pastimes was that the Lord fulfilled everyone's desire. This is one of the features of Krishna. He's expert. He fulfilled the desire of Mother Yashoda. He fulfilled the desire of Nalakumara and Manigriva. He fulfilled the promise of Narada Muni. He fulfilled the desire of all the inhabitants of Braja, the elder gopis and gopas. Simultaneously, he was bringing perfectly appropriate happiness to all at once. And this is the beauty of Krishna's pastimes. In the case of felling gigantic Arjuna trees, the Lord's mission was to deliver the two sons of Kubera, who were condemned to become trees by the curse of Narada, as well as to play like a crawling child in the yard of Yashoda, who took transcendental pleasure in seeing such activities of the Lord in the very yard of her home. So whether, again the conclusion, whether Krishna is showing, as he did with Vamana, this huge form, enough to cover literally with his step, the whole breadth of the universe, or when he's just a tiny, several days old child in the lap of his mother, he's God. And he exhibits transcendental potencies in both of these extremes and anything in between. Like in the Govardhan Leela, after Krishna had convinced Nanda Maharaj to stop the Indra Yajna and instead to worship Govardhan Hill, he wanted to convince his father and the others that it wasn't just child talk, and they were obliging child talk. Because when they gave the Anukut offering to Govardhan, then Krishna manifested this gigantic form of Hari. And in this gigantic form of Hari, he accepted the entire Anukut and ate it all, and then asked for more. And then ask for more. So, however Krishna manifests himself, or expansions of himself, it's pastime. And for him, there's no difficulty in doing so. Even just lifting your arm in the air for 7 days, with nothing on it. Just lift your arm and hold it up in the air for 7 days. That's quite an accomplishment. And no sleeping and no eating. Then, you know, put an object on top of your hand. And let that object be a mountain. And you're just 7 years old. It's not possible. Not possible. Krishna performed these activities, his divinity. We speak of Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan in this way, that he manifested his divinity, he manifested his Aishwarya, his opulences. But even stronger, more dominant than his opulences was the sweetness of Krishna. Because the sweetness of Krishna was that he was reciprocating so wonderfully with the loving feelings of the residents of Braja. And this speaks very well of the residents of Braja also. Because how sweet the pastimes that Krishna exhibited in Braja was simply reciprocation with the quality of their love for him. When Uddhava, the most qualified, devotee in Krishna outside of Vrindavan, when he visited Vrindavan, he was overwhelmed with the intimacy and intensity of the love of the residents of Vrindavan for Krishna. So much so that he wished to become a resident of Vrindavan. Specifically, he wished to have the feet of the gopis touch his head. But he knew that these very simple village girls, they would cringe at the thought of placing their feet upon his head. Because he's Uddhava, he's the minister of the Yadu dynasty. Putting our feet on his head, no. Big offense. They couldn't think of it. So he underwent austerities to become a blade of grass somewhere in Vrindavan, so that as the gopis would pass, maybe some of the dust that would come from their feet would land upon his grass's body and thus benedict him with the dust of their lotus feet. Vrindavan, by the side of Govardhan Hill, there's a place called Uddhava Baitak, where Uddhava sat and performed his austerities to become a grass. So exalted are the residents of Vrindavan. The reciprocator of their love is Krishna himself, which is being described in these early verses of the 7th chapter, 2nd Canto Bhagavatam. Question?
Can you show the wonder how Krishna...
Yeah. She wanted to know, she felt, as Nanda Maharaj felt, that actually it's the cowherd man and Nanda Maharaj who are holding up the hill. The nature of Yoga Maya is that Yoga Maya is so strong, it's like Mahamaya is so strong, that persons who are suffering think that they're enjoying. We see it. They're doing very, 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 very difficult activity. And they continue to do that very, very difficult activity thinking they're enjoying. Give examples, but you know, Prabhupada would joke sometimes. The cigarette ad for the cigarette called Kool. K-O-O-L. Prabhupada said they're smoking fire and they're calling it Kool. That's Maya. And as Mahamaya is so strong, Yogamaya also covers a living entity in such a way that they cannot detect what someone who is not covered by Yogamaya can detect. Like the gopis dancing with Krishna. And Krishna was manifesting himself in so many forms of Krishna in between each of the two gopis. But they were thinking, Krishna is with me alone. Krishna is so attached. Krishna has so much affection for me that he's with me alone. But he wasn't with them alone. But they were thinking like that. Out of their love for Krishna, Krishna was covering them with his yogamaya potency to permit that thought and feeling. Or when the cowherd boys would sit and have their lunch, Krishna was sitting in the middle of the circle of the cowherd boys, and each of them was thinking that Krishna is so attached to me, he can't take his eyes off of me. He's simply sharing, loving, and dealing with me as we're having lunch. But each of the cowherd boys around the whole circle were thinking like that. It's not like Krishna was rotating his head like a revolver or something. It was just that's the yogamaya potency. It's like that. Or Mother Devaki, when she made her appeal to forearm Vasudev, please assume a childlike form. Because when Kamsa hears that my eighth child has been born, he'll come here at once and he'll try to kill you. So if you have a small childlike form, then maybe we can hide you somewhere here in the prison house. But if you have this big form of forearm Vishnu, then he'll try to kill you. It's totally illogical. Forearm Vishnu is Vishnu. And who can kill Vishnu? And if a powerful Vishnu with the symbols, there's his chakra. And there's his gada. Who can touch Vishnu? But she's asking, please assume a childlike form. Because of her maternal affection, she wants to see Krishna that way in this childlike form. So on some pretext, please assume a childlike form. It's yogamaya. Yogamaya acts in such a way that it induces the love of the devotee. And it's not based upon a high degree of rational thought, necessarily. It's based upon affection and love. The yogamaya potency acts to cause the devotee to forget Krishna's divinity. When, after Krishna had come into Mathura, and he broke the bow, he killed Kumbhakarna, he killed Kamsa, and killed the wrestlers, Chandra and Mushtika, and their brothers, and killed Kamsa. And he came into the prison house of Vasudeva and Devaki and freed them from their shackles. He and Balaram. And Krishna and Balaram were looking up at Vasudeva and Devaki like little boys, wanting to feel their embrace and exchange that kind of love. And they were looking at them like, you're not our children, you're God. And so Krishna covered them with yogamaya potency. They could forget that he's God and they could embrace him like their children. Sometimes they would speculate, who is this boy? When Krishna rescued Nanda Maharaj from the abode of Varuna, Nanda Maharaj saw right before his eyes, Varuna got off his throne, put Krishna on his throne, and began worshipping him with celestial paraphernalia. When Nanda Maharaj was released from that place where Varuna's kingdom was and came back to Vrindavan, he called a conference amongst the elders of Vrindavan and explained to them exactly what happened and was asking them, please help me understand. Who is this boy? He's not an ordinary child. He's not just my child. He's a very special personality. And who do you think he is? But they didn't reach the conclusion that he's God. Then they reached the conclusion he's very special and should be treated with great regard, wherever he is. Maybe he's a great yogi, a demigod. maybe the knob is something very special. The yoga maya covers the living entity so that they can enter into very intimate exchanges with Krishna and not perceive his divinity. The coward boys would do it every day. They would see Krishna exhibit his divinity. And they would just glorify, how wonderful is our Krishna. Think about it. Go back and tell their parents in the evening after herding the cows. And they would hear Krishna's pastimes like we hear them in reading Krishna book. And they would think, how wonderful is our Krishna. Without questioning, is this God? How is he doing these amazing things? It must be something special.
As we are trying to please Krishna.
How do we know whether Krishna speaks with us or not? That's your question. I'll give two answers. One answer is found in the Bhagavatam. The answer is given in terms of the eating process. When you're eating, how do you know when you've had enough? You're full. You don't have to have somebody tell you. Now you've had enough. Somebody might tell you that, but you don't have to have somebody tell you that. Because, it gives the example, after having fasted for some time, when breaking the fast, there are three things that happen. When strength returns to the body after long fasting and breaking the fast. One's hunger subsides. You're no longer hungry at a certain point. And you're feeling satisfied. So as with the eating process, so also with the pleasing Krishna process. One wishes to serve favorably. One develops feelings for him. And there's detachment from all other things except that one thing, pleasing Krishna. That's where there's advancement. Krishna. So, supposing somebody has a bad habit, whatever that bad habit might be, by advancement in Krishna consciousness, that bad habit, the attraction of that bad habit goes away. One of the bad habits that I hear about from devotees that share what their bad habits are, one of them is wasting time on the internet. And some of them is they go to some of those bad sites and waste time on those bad sites on the internet. But other times it's just wasting time, just cruising and reading the news and checking out this and that and that and this and that. And they don't have it. It's a time waster, brain duller. Or chatting. Kids spend time with those. Whatever you call it. Is that what you call it?
Chatting.
Chatting. You know, just putting something up on a blah 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 site and someone does the blah 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 back and you do the blah 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 back. Blah, 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 blah. Time wasters. And video games. You know, so many time wasters. So it's somebody, when one's advancing in Krishna consciousness, those time wasters don't attract your attention. Just like, you know, it's not like an issue, oh, I shouldn't do that bad thing or time waster thing. It's just a phase. It's not like it's zero. It's pale. Not at all attractive. Children like to play. They can play and play and play all day. And when someone is mature, at least the same playing activities, there isn't an attraction for it because your taste has matured. There's other kinds of time waster things, but those things are no longer attractive. So as the taste, or as the capacity for pleasing Krishna becomes improved and strengthened, those viraktir anyatra cha, detachment from all other things, is a sign of dancing and one is praising Krishna. The second very simple criterion is yasya prasada bhagava prasada. Yasya prasada, not the tika toki. By pleasing the spiritual master, this is the indication one is praising Krishna. The converse is also. Yes.
Maharaj, as you had said, yeah. As you just explained, so on the other hand, like we are given the knowledge, this kind of awe and reverence which builds up on exactly these pastimes.
Right.
So what is the thing of getting this knowledge of Krishna, not knowing it, actually to connect to Krishna?
Good, excellent question. It does seem like a contradiction, but it's not. The bridge comes in associating with those who have the love as the residents of Vrindavan have for Krishna. The first is qualifying oneself, and the other is entering into that mood. And the bridge is in the form of the residents of Vrindavan, or in the language of Rupa Goswami, it's the association with a ragatmika bhakta, a sadhaka. The sadhana is likened to taking wet wood and making it dry. And association with a ragatmika bhakta is like putting the log in the fire. So through the association of those who have that mood of the residents of Vrindavan, one can receive that mood. And otherwise it's not, it's imagination or it's imitation. It's cheap. It's not the genuine thing. To just act like as if one was what one isn't. Through the association, sangat sanjayate kama, the principle of through association, one develops qualities like those with whom one associates. So the whole of Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lord Chaitanya's teachings, is filled with that mood. And his associates, in turn, are filled with that mood. So just hearing Lord Chaitanya's pastimes enriches that mood. It prepares one to enter into that mood. And one who enters into that mood through Lord Chaitanya's mercy and his associates can develop it, and one can get entrance into Vrindavan. Putting it in very simple terms, Prabhupada said, in order to get the mercy of Krishna, one needs the mercy of Srimati Radharani. And to get the mercy of Srimati Radharani, one needs the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. And to get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, one needs the favor of Lord Nityananda. And to get the favor of Lord Nityananda, one needs to approach the conditioned souls and assist Lord Nityananda, who is assisting Lord Chaitanya in his mission of delivering Krishna Prema to the conditioned souls. Thereby one gets the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, thus one gets the mercy of Radha, thus one gets the mercy of Krishna. So by following in the footsteps of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda, one can enter into that mood by their mercy. Even without, like, you know, something, you have to go hunting around somewhere and find a ragatmika bhakta. It's just follow that process and sequentially. All that arrangement is made by their mercy. So it's made easy by their mercy. Yes.
So one day when you are trying to how powerful God is.
Minimizing the ego that we have?
Yeah.
The false ego that we have for minimizing and maximizing the true ego. It's not just minimizing, it's like eliminating false ego. But there's the teaching that scriptures provide us is the elimination altogether of a sense of self, as in nihilism or voidism. It's pretentious because the soul has a real identity. And what is that real identity? We're the eternal servant of Krishna. So that real identity, or you can say true ego, of I am the eternal servant of Krishna, is enriched, it's nurtured. Like a seed that's dormant, and then the seed that sprouted. The process of hearing, as you just described, hearing and chanting, it's sprouting a seed. So that the true sense of who we are, Krishna's eternal servant, is enriched and grows. And the false ego is definitely being diminished and eliminated simultaneously. We discussed this during the weekend, the Kleshadli and Shuvada, just by sadhana bhakti. All auspiciousness is awakened, and that which is the root cause of our suffering, our kleshas, is destroyed. And this ignorance is destroyed. Ignorance is the root cause of suffering. We don't know who we are. And we're acting in a way to become happy, in a way that's diametrically opposite what our self-interest is. It's just missing the target altogether. Real self-interest is being servant of God. It's a dangle.